الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، سورة آل عمران آية or آيات 130, 131, 132 and so on. We were still commenting on آية 130, or actually let's be more accurate, we were translating the comments of Sheikh Abd al-Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah on آيات 130. He said, قوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كل ما في القرآن من قوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا فعلوا كذا أو اتركوا كذا يدل على أن الإيمان هو السبب الداعي والموجب لامتثال ذلك الأمر واجتناب ذلك النهي. Interesting observation. The ayah began with all you who have believed. All you who have believed. Not all you who believe. Because the ayah speaks about those who've done it in the past tense. Let us say, Ya ayyuha al-mu'minun, O believers. Ya ayyuha al-ladhina yu'minu, O those who believe. Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu, O you those who have believed. And you continue to believe. The Shaykh said, anytime you see that, anytime the ayah says, oh, you who have believed, do such and such, or avoid such and such, this means that your adherence to the command or your abstinence from the prohibition depends on your iman. Meaning this is a byproduct of your iman. That iman is the main cause which causes you, which allows you to obey the command and, alaykum salam, to obey the command and to avoid the prohibition. So every time you read an ayah and it says, oh, you have believed, you know, such and such and such, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha, oh, you have believed, turn to Allah in repentance, with insincere repentance. Depending on a person's iman, because Allah is addressing us with the quality of what? Iman. That means depending on your iman, you will adhere. If the iman is low, you will pay no attention. If the iman is high, you will adhere to the reminder. So depending on the level of iman will be the adherence and the submission and the application to the ayat or to the commandments or the prohibitions of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لأن الإيمان هو التصديق الكامل بما يجب التصديق به المستلزم لأعمال الجوارح. Because iman, in definition, is the ultimate form of belief. To truly believe and accept something in whatever is supposed to be believed in, which necessitates the actions of the limbs. So iman is not merely a statement with the tongue. It must be accompanied with the limbs, the actions of the limbs. If the limbs don't act accordingly, there's no iman. If someone tells you, I believe, but I cannot do salah. I cannot wake up for Fajr. Whatever excuses they give you, there's no iman. There's no real iman. If there was real iman, then there would be the actions of the limbs. Once there are shortcomings, then the iman is reduced according to the shortcomings. And all of us have our share. All of us have our share. But we cannot claim otherwise. We cannot claim that we have perfect iman while we know that we have shortcomings. And secondly, even though we all have these shortcomings, they're not at the same level. Someone who falls into some sin because of weakness is not like someone who just doesn't care about praying Fajr in the Jama'ah at the masjid. Both are disobeying Allah. Both have a weakness of iman. But the difference between them is huge. Because one is struggling against himself, you know, and he fell into this sin because of the weakness. He's struck by the shaitan. His self is against him. Everything is against him. But Salat al-Fajr is just a matter of realizing that you just have to wake up and go to the masjid. You say it's difficult, you're a liar. 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 Biggest proof is just assume you had a flight.
would not miss it. You will hardly find, and maybe in the history of mankind, someone missing a flight because they overslept. Right? I mean, it may happen, but only for really silly people. And even the people say, you missed the flight because you slept? Come on, man. I mean, any other excuse is acceptable, but you can't oversleep when you know you have a flight. You wake up early, you go to the airport 2 or 3 hours before, you know the departure time, you have the paperwork ready, your luggage packed. For someone to miss a flight because they slept is far-fetched. So if you won't miss a flight at Fajr time, how do you miss the Salah at Fajr time? And if you miss a flight once in your life, can you miss a flight every day? Imagine, okay, you missed it the first day, right? Then you booked another flight the next day, then you missed it again. Can you miss it 3-4 times in a row? No way! But people miss Salah to Fajr Jama'ah, not 3-4 days, 3-4 months. And every day they pray like the hypocrites. Wake up, you know, at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning before he goes to work or before he goes to school. Allahu Akbar, at the door. Salatul Munafiq, as the Prophet ﷺ called it. This is the Salah of the hypocrite. He waits until the sun rises, then he prays 4 rak'at like a chicken, you know, quick and khalas. Then he tells you later, Wallah, brother, you know, brother, this is not the brother. Your iman is no good. If your iman was sound, we will be hearing none of these stories. Yes, you will miss Salat al-Fajr once a year, once every 6 months. Once a month is a lot. But assuming there was some circumstance, some issue, you had to sleep very late because of some guest that came over, you know, that you were not expecting, you had to travel. So, I mean, you may have a valid reason. But one, you know, two days out of the week missing Salat al-Fajr, the least we should do is say, okay, I have a problem with my iman. There's no way my iman is sound. That we need to acknowledge that, then we need to find a treatment and treat it. But to claim that this is normal, no, it is not. It is not. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, for 30 years, the imam, the muazzin would call the adhan, he'll be in the masjid before him. 30 years, he will be at the masjid before the muazzin. 5 daily salawat. So, they did it. Alhamdulillah. Idhan, aywa. فَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ أَكْلِ الرِّبَى أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفَةً وذلك هو ما اعتاده أهل الجاهلية ومن لا يبالي بالأوامر الشرعية. So because of this iman, Allah prohibited us from consuming riba, you know, multiplied riba, more and more and more than the average or the usual, and all of them are haram. And this is what the people of Jahiliyyah had been accustomed to, and those who couldn't care less about Allah's legal revelation. Wa alaykum salam. من أنه إذا حل الدين على المعسر ولم يحصل منه شيء قالوا له إما أن تقدم عليك من الدين وإما أن نزيد في المدة ونزيد ما في ذمتك. And how did that happen? And it happens today. This jahiliyyah is something that happens today. When a person's due date has come for him to pay back. Okay? A person borrowed from another person 5,000 riyals. And they agreed that he will pay him at the 29th of October. When the 29th of October came around, the man who owns the money says to the one who borrowed the money, give me my money back. Right? This is a due date. Now, if he's unable to get his money, they will say, look, either you give me the money back or we will increase the time. I will give you more time, but then we will also increase the payback, the interest. In Arabic, they have twisted it and called it fa'ida. Fa'ida, or they call them al-fawa'id al-bankiyya. And you know what fa'ida means? Benefit. And this is part of the way of changing the names of things to make them appear acceptable to the people. If they call it riba, you know, people say, what? No, but they call it fa'ida, benefit. We will give you a benefit. and they're really destroying you. So this happens until today. You don't pay back, and you have to pay me more. I'll give you another month, but the 5,000 riyals becomes 6,000 riyals. So they may put a fixed rate. Every month you delay in paying, then there's 2.5% of the total amount that will be increased. And someone who's already in this state of need, otherwise you wouldn't borrow money, will find himself going down the hole. It doesn't help him get up. It puts him more down, further down into the hole until he's destroyed. And the whole Western economy is based on interest. This is why their economy has recently suffered this major disaster, and it will continue to do so, because it's all based on oppressing people. It's based on zulm and oppression. And Allah Azza wa Jalla loves justice for slaves. So when they turn away from Allah's justice, what is better than, akhi, 5,000 riyals, and when time to pay back comes around, and he say, I don't have the money, say, no problem, I'll give you another month, but you still pay me 5,000 riyals. What will that do? That will keep you happy, content. And I will not be taking more money from you. I will not be taking advantage of your poverty, of your need. And this will be more of a reason for you to pay me back on time, rather than increasing. I mean, it works for both parties. And for the muhsin, for the good doer, his reward is with Allah. And you're still getting your money back. It's not like I'm telling you, it's 5,000 and you pay me back 4,000. Then we can turn around and say, now the one who's lending the money is being oppressed. But it's even. I give you, you give me back. Did you lose anything? If you have 100,000 riyals and you only need 50,000 to live and spend, and you have another 50,000 on the side, and you lend it to many Muslims, then they paid you back. Did you lose anything? Your money is your money. Instead of having it sitting there, you're helping others benefit. But what have you done? You have strengthened the brotherhood. You have gained abundance of reward with Allah for helping those in the state of need. You've gotten so many advantages for yourself, the community, and everyone, rather than keeping that money frozen. Versus giving about 50,000, then you get, when everybody pays you back with interest, 200,000, and they are in worse condition. But you're already rich. You want to get richer on the expense of the poor? You see the wisdom, the rationale behind it? This is why it is haram. This is because it entails zulm of the creation. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Oh, my slaves, I have made oppression forbidden upon myself. Allah could have oppressed us if He willed. But Allah made it haram upon Himself. And I made it haram upon you. So do not wrong each other. Do not oppress one another. So this is the deen of, this is the justice of Islam. Any questions, we will... Yes.
Isn't it related to the bond reduced?
Yes. Look, that's what we're saying. Adha'af al-muda'afa, multiplied. You came late, so you missed my...
Simple interest is like a service fee.
Well, the Shaykh will explain.
Which you said the benefit.
The Shaykh will explain what the whole thing is about. So this, which the Shaykh called Adha'af al-muda'afa, the multiplied form of riba, he explained it, that the person then will tell him, I will give you more time, I will extend the time for the payback, however you will pay me more. Now you will owe me more money. وَإِمَّا أَنْ نُزِيءَ أَيْوَا فَيَضْطَرُّ الْفَقِيرُ وَيَسْتَدْفِعَ غَرِيمَهُ وَيَلْتَزِمْ ذَلِكَ اغْتِنَامًا لِرَاحَتِهِ الْحَاضِرَةِ فبذلك عفوا بذلك ما فيه ذمتي أضعاف مضاعفة من غير نفع ولا انتفاع. So the poor person is now forced to either pay the one whom he owes money, or he will have to pay more money eventually in order to buy his rest. Now he wants to buy a peace of mind. He just wants to buy that one month extension. So then this will increase him in debt without him benefiting and no one else benefiting except the one who owns the money originally. فَفِي قَوْلِهِ أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا. Now the Shaykh is explaining what is intended by أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا, multiplied form of riba. نَتَنْبِيهٌ عَلَى شِدَّةِ شَنَعَتِهِ بِكَثْرَتِهِ وَتَنْبِيهٍ لِحِكْمَةِ تَحْرِيمِهِ is an indication of the abhorrence of this riba. You know, when Allah mentioned the term twice, أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا, أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا, and the wisdom behind its prohibition. وأن تحريم الربا حكمته أن الله منع لما فيه منع منه لما فيه من الظلم. That Allah عز وجل made it forbidden because of the wrong and the oppression which it contains. وذلك أن الله أوجب إنظار المعسر وبقاء ما في ذمته من غير زيادة. Because Allah had commanded that you give respite, you give time, you give a delay, you postpone the time of payback for the one who owns you money without increasing the actual amount which he owes you. فإلزامه بما فوق ذلك ظلم مضاعف. So expecting of him to pay you more than that is multiplied oppression. فتعين على المؤمن المتقي تركه وعدم قربانه لأن تركه من موجبات التقوى. So it becomes incumbent on the God-fearing, God-conscious, pious, righteous believer to abandon this kind of riba and not to even come close to it, because abandoning it is a manifestation of your God-consciousness. It's a manifestation of your fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. والفلاح متوقف على التقوى. And success is conditional to taqwa. The more taqwa, the more success. The less taqwa, the less success. Absence of taqwa, absence of success. Then there's what? Loss. That's how it goes. فَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That's what Allah says. So have taqwa of Allah so that you may attain success. So this is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal concerning abandoning riba. Ayah 131. وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ بترك ما يوجب دخولها من الكفر والمعاصي على اختلاف درجاتها. فإن المعاصي كلها وخصوصا المعاصي الكبار تجر إلى الكفر. Then Allah said, and protect yourselves from the fire which was prepared for the disbelievers. Now let me just repeat the ayah, and I want to see which one of you is able to deduce a benefit that is very clear and the obvious meaning of the ayah. And protect yourselves from the hellfire prepared for the disbelievers. What does that teach us about the hellfire? Because there are some Muslims who have a misunderstanding about this. And protect yourselves from the hellfire which was prepared for the disbelievers. What does that tell you about the hellfire?
Prepared for the disbelievers.
No, Muslims will enter it.
Committing any sins.
No. When you add ED to a present tense, what does that make it?
Past tense.
And Allah said that the hellfire has been prepared, meaning it already exists. Because you find some among the deviant Muslims who say no, that Jahannam does not exist currently, that Allah Azza wa Jal will create it later on at the Day of Judgment when people enter it. But all this is contrary to the many ayat and many narrations from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where when he was taken with some of the malaika, the angels, he saw people in the hellfire burning, right? So the hellfire already exists, because Allah says, "U'iddat lil kafirin." It was already prepared. It's done in the past. Not it will be prepared for the disbelievers. It's already prepared. So the Shaykh said, so how do you do so? By abandoning everything which necessitates entering it. From acts of disbelief and disobedience, على اختلاف درجاتها, irrespective of its of the degrees, the degree of disbelief and the degree disbelief and the degree of disobedience, regardless of the level, we need to abandon all of them, because all of them necessitate entering Jahannam al-'Iyadu billah. فإن المعاصي كلها وخصوصا المعاصي الكبار تجر إلى الكفر. All of sins, particularly major sins, lead to the hellfire. بل هي من خصال الكفر الذي أعد الله النار لأهله. Rather, it is from the qualities of disbelief which Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared the Jahannam for, the people of major sins. The major sins are a quality of disbelief. فترك المعاصي ينجي من النار ويقي من سخط الجبار. Avoiding sins protects one from the hellfire and protects one from the wrath of the irresistible. The most powerful, Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَفْعَالُ الْخَيْرِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. On the other hand, the acts of good and obedience, تُوجِبُ رِضَ الرَّحْمَنِ وَدُخُولُ الْجِنَانِ. It will bring about the pleasure of the most merciful and the entrance or the admittance to the gardens, which is paradise. وَحُصُولُ الرَّحْمَنِ.
and the acquisition or the gaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولهذا قال وأطيعوا الله والرسول وأطيعوا الله والرسول لعلكم ترحمون. That's why Allah says, so obey Allah and His messenger so that you may attain mercy. أطيعوا الله والرسول بفعل الأوامر امتثالا واجتناب النواهي. How do you obey Allah and His messenger? Doing everything they commanded, staying away from everything they forbade. Perhaps you will attain mercy. فَطَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةُ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ حُصُولِ الرَّحْمَةِ. If one wants to acquire the mercy of Allah, then he should obey Allah and His messenger. This is, why is this important? Because you will find that many people have it the other way around. You find that some are engaged in sin and disobedience, and when you try to advise them, they tell you, Allahu ghafurun rahim. Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. But Allah said, if you want to attain mercy, you must obey Allah's messenger. So how do you disobey Allah's messenger and expect mercy from Allah when Allah made His mercy conditional to you obeying Allah's messenger? It doesn't work. Then Allah says another ayah, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has encompassed everything. So some people relax, but the ayah continues. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But then I shall only write it for, I shall only grant it to those who have taqwa, those who bring zakah, whether it is money, paying money, the zakat al-mal, or zakah, purifying oneself. They purify themselves from evils and disobedience and so on and so forth, and those who believe in the ayat of Allah. His mercy encompasses everyone and everything, but it shall only be granted to the people of taqwa, the people of zakah, and those who believe in the ayat of Allah. Right? Otherwise, if we were to say otherwise, then you'd be like a Christian who says that God loves everyone and everything. It's the easiest thing for a Christian, you know, to say, no, they have no reservation. God loves you. Live. And I told them in the email, you know, some people, you know, I was communicating with them via email. I said, how? Who gave you the, did you speak to God? Did He tell you that He loves me? I mean, if you're speaking about your God, which is not the same as mine, then I tell you for sure He doesn't love me. Because I don't love Him. If your God is Jesus, right, as in, if not Jesus, the messenger, the God or the Holy Spirit, I don't love Him, and I'm sure He wouldn't love me because I don't love Him. And assuming that He loved me, if I didn't love Him, how do you know? But see, this is what they do not, as Allah says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They did not measure Allah. They did not estimate Allah's greatness accurately. They did not. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What is the matter with you? You do not show Allah's respect. You do not respect Allah as He deserves it. They speak about Allah like it's just a regular guy. Walking that, you know, God loves you and God died for you and God, everything is God. When we Muslims are very sensitive when it comes to speaking about Allah without knowledge. You cannot tell someone Allah loves you. I cannot. Because I don't know. Allah may love him. Allah may not. Right? So inshallah, we hope that Allah loves you because He facilitated your affair, He guided you to Islam. But you cannot give this tazkiyah to anyone. Why? Because you're speaking on behalf of Allah. And you don't know the reality of the unseen. And you don't know what Allah Azza wa Jalla has with him. So this is why we're very sensitive. Please do not click with the fence. Don't click the fence. This reminds me of, you know, the school days. Jazakum Allah khair. Tayyib. Then, ayah... Lay. Ayah 133. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal ardu u'iddat lilmuttaqin. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين. In this particular ayah, Allah says, and march forth, hurry, hasten, in the way which leads to the forgiveness from your Lord. and for paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the muttaqeen. Again, it was what?
Prepared.
It's already there. Now, who are the muttaqeen? Who are the people of taqwa? Those who spend in prosperity and in adversity. Who repress anger, and who pardon men, they forgive the people. Verily Allah loves those who excel, in doing good. And those who, when they have committed fahisha, like for example illegal sexual intercourse, or wrong themselves with evil, they remember Allah and ask forgiveness for their sins. And none can forgive sins but Allah, and do not persist in what wrong they have done while they know. For such, the reward is forgiveness from their Lord, and gardens with rivers flowing underneath, wherein they shall abide forever. How excellent is the reward for the doers, meaning that those who do righteousness and who do what Allah has described in the previous ayat. Now the Shaykh said, ثم أمرهم تعالى بالمسارعة إلى مغفرته وإدراك جنته التي عرضها السماوات والأرض فكيف بطولها التي أعدها الله للمتقين فهم أهلها وأعمال التقوى هي الموصلة إليها. Then Allah commanded us to hasten to seek to acquire His forgiveness and to also be admitted to His paradise, whose as wide the width of Jannah is equal to the heavens, the width of the heavens and the earth. So the Shaykh said, then what about its height? If this is the arq, what about the tool? If the width is this much, then what about the height of Jannah? And we know that in Jannah, there are 100 degrees, 100 levels. Each one, the distance, between the distance of each one is the distance of between the sama and arq. And the Jannah is way high. And the highest point of Jannah is what?
Al-Firdaus.
Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, right? The highest point of Jannah is Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. The roof is what? The throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. The roof of Al-Firdaus is the throne of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now that place is not for everyone. We ask Allah to make us among them though. It's not for everyone. Allah musta'an. Tayyib. So who are the inhabitants though of this Jannah? It's the people of taqwa, the people of righteousness, the people of good deeds, the people who obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ وَصَفَ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَأَعْمَالَهُمْ فَقَالَ. Then Allah described the muttaqeen and what characteristics they have. What are the qualities of the people of taqwa? First, those who spend in prosperity and adversity. أي في حال عسرهم ويسرهم. They spend when the situation is tough and when they're feeling, when they're, you know, their pockets are full. In أيسروا أكثر من النفقة. If their financial situation is lucrative, is good, then they spend more. They increase in their spending. وإذا أعسروا لم يحتقروا من المعروف شيئا ولو قل. And if they're suffering financially, they do not belittle anything they spend, even if it's small. You know, even if they give some, but they are consistent in spending, regardless of their financial situation. والكاظمين الغيظ. Now that required, that's a quality which we all need to work on. And those who repress their anger. أي إذا حصل لهم من غيرهم أذية توجب غيظهم وهو امتلاء قلوبهم من الحنق الموجب للانتقام القول والفعل. هؤلاء لا يعلمون بمقتضى الطباع البشرية بل يكظمون ما في القلوب من الغيظ ويصبرون عن مقابلة المسيء إليهم. Now the Shaykh said that, this explaining that, meaning whenever they are harmed by someone which necessitates anger, which is really the heart being filled with rage, which usually necessitates revenge, either with the action or with the statement. You want to take revenge. These people don't act according to human standards. Human standards, someone upsets you, you take revenge from him. These people, they are able to repress that anger they have in their hearts, and they are patient when people wrong them. Now, time out though. Many people must misunderstand this. Yes, this is the general principle, but there are exceptions to the rule.
This is not across the board. Otherwise, we become again like the Christians. If you slap me on the right cheek, I give you the other one. No, we don't have that. If you read many other ayat, Allah gave the right for the one who has been wronged to get his right back from the one who wronged him. And Allah suggested that pardoning is better. But you have the right. In another ayah in Surah Ash-Shura, Allah praised those who, when they are wrong, they get their right back. Because there are times where you cannot let it go. There are times where if you pardon everyone, you will have no position. Your status will be diminished among the people. That's why you see some of the shuyukh in the context of their teaching with the students, and I've seen this with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears, when some of the students acted a little off the thing, there was no mercy then. Because this was not the time to be kind. Because if you're kind, and so the students who say this teacher, everything goes with him, then he will have no respect among the people anymore, his whole durus are down the drain. So there are times where you need to maintain a particular standard. Yes, pardoning is the expected thing, but not every time. There are times where pardoning will create more problems. For example, we know that if someone killed someone by mistake, or even by mistake, someone killed someone, what is the payback that they get killed? Unless the relatives of the deceased, pardon him. Now the scholars say, Tadal Habibi. Only the chair? No problem. Now if someone was a good man and he's known for driving, close the door please. He's known for driving slowly, however he ran into someone by mistake and killed him. Here it is recommended for the then it is recommended that you pardon him. You pardon him and you take blood money, or you just say khalas, you're free for the sake of Allah, we don't want to get payback. But if someone was known for being a reckless driver, you know, one of these crazy shabab who's always, you know, skidding the cars and drifting and whatever, and he's been warned already and he has already killed someone before, then when they come and if in another accident he kills another person, now pardoning is not supposed to happen. Because if you're pardoning him, then you're giving him more room and the chance to continue to do this and kill more people. It may become wajib that you get him killed for killing someone. You see that? So it depends. The issue of pardoning, alaykum salam. You're not gonna take a chair, right? You see what I'm saying? So yes, pardoning is the asl, specifically when you have the ability to take revenge. But there are times where you need to hold your ground and go with justice. Otherwise, there will be chaos. So in Islam, we have, you know, this method of approach. Na'am, Allahu a'lam. Continuing with their description, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُ فِي الْعَفْوِ عَنِ النَّاسِ الْعَفْوُ عَنْ كُلِّ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ بِقَوْلٍ أَوْ فِعْلٍ وَالْعَفْوُ أَبْلَغْ مِنَ الْقَضْمِ مِنَ الْقَضْمِ. Included in pardoning people, those who pardon people, included in that is that you pardon everyone who wrongs you, either verbally or with his actions. And pardoning is greater than repressing anger, because you may repress anger, but you still have something in your heart, right? Someone upsets you, you keep it inside, you don't act upon it, you don't get back at him, but still inside, you have an issue. No, now pardoning is when even that feeling is gone. And that's difficult. That's very difficult, subhanAllah. But these are the muttaqeen. لأن العفو ترك المؤاخذة مع السماحة عن المسيء. Because pardoning is not getting back at the person along with totally forgetting about what he did to you. وهذا إنما يكون ممن تحلى بالأخلاق الجميلة وتخلى من الأخلاق الرذيلة. This is only for those who beautify themselves with the best characters and abandon evil characters. One of the brothers had made a comment on this ayah. He said, if you want to know whether you have pardoned this person or not, make dua for him. Let's say someone did something very bad for you, and if you're able to make dua for him in the salah, oh Allah, forgive. If you really are able to ask Allah sincerely to forgive him and pardon him, meaning you yourself have pardoned him. But if you're still unable to do it, if you only want to make dua, you feel, no, then you haven't pardoned him yet. You haven't? Pardon him yet. May Allah forgive us all. وَمِمَّنْ تَاجَرَ مَعَ اللَّهِ وَعَفَّ عَنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةً بِهِمْ وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And he's among those who have established a trade with Allah and pardoned the slaves of Allah as mercy to them and out of means of being good and excellent with them. وَكَرَاهَةِ لِحُصُولِ الشَّرِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. And because he does not want evil to overtake them. وَلْيَعْفُ اللَّهُ عَنْ. And so that Allah may pardon him in return. وَيَكُونُ أَجْرَهُ عَلَى رَبِّهِ الْكَرِيمِ لَا عَلَى الْعَبْدِ الْفَقِيرِ. Then his reward is from the noble master, not from the poor slave. That Allah will reward him. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So whosoever pardons and he rectifies, he reconciles, and his reward is upon Allah Azza wa Jal. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ حَالَ أَعَمُّ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا وَأَحْسَنْ وَأَعْلَى وَأَجَلْ وَهِيَ الْإِحْسَانِ. فقال تعالى والله يحب المحسنين. That Allah mentioned a state which is better, higher and more noble than the ones mentioned before, and that is the state of ihsan. And Allah said, and verily Allah loves the muhsinin. The muhsinin usually is translated as those who do good, but the truth of the matter is there's more to it. It's those who excel from excellent. You know, even when you in your grades, you have good, very good, excellent. Now excellent is better than good, isn't it? So the muhsinin are not really those who are doing good. The muhsinin are those who are doing very good, rather they're doing excellent. So the more accurate translation would be those who excel, rather than those who do good. والإحسان نوعان. الإحسان في عبادة الخالق والإحسان إلى المخلوق. You should all memorize this. إحسان is of two kinds. Excellence is of two kinds. Excellence in the worship of Allah and excellence to the creation of Allah. So a relationship between you and Allah where excellence is observed, and the relationship between you and the creation of Allah where excellence is observed. Please do not click the pens. Please do not click the curtains. Move up a little bit. Barakallah feek. Jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah. Hey, now who can define ihsan? What is ihsan from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ?
The one who prays that it's like he's seeing Allah.
The one who?
The one who prays that he is in
the... He prays?
Yes, the one who prays. That's
for sure.
Why did you specify pray? The one who worships Allah.
The one.
As if he can see him. But if he can't see him, then he recognizes that Allah sees him. Not only wa salah, that's in everything, right? That's in everything. And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. To worship Allah as if you can see him, and that's the highest level. And the scholars say this is the one who worships Allah with love, desire, you know, excitement. He's looking forward, you know, as if he can look at Allah Azza wa Jal. But no one can see Allah in the dunya. But if that's a higher level, if you are able to reach that, then at least you are mindful that Allah sees you. This is the state of someone who's afraid of Allah, who fears Allah, who's worried about Allah becoming angry with him. So one is loving Allah and looking forward to worshipping Him more, and the other one is not at that level, but still, he does not put himself in a position where Allah becomes displeased with him, because he's always mindful of Allah watching him. This is ihsan. وَأَمَّا الْإِحْسَانُ إِلَى الْمَخْلُوقِ فَهُوَ إِيصَالُ النَّفْعِ الدِّينِي وَالدُّنْيَوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَدَفْعُ الشَّرِّ الدِّينِي وَالدُّنْيَوِي عَنْهُ. MashaAllah. Then how do we define excellence to the creation? It is by delivering worldly and religious benefit to them and protecting them from worldly and religious harm. Right? By delivering to them worldly benefit, help them get a job, give them some money, blah blah blah. And religious, advising them, helping them, teaching them, blah blah blah, etc. And the other one, by preventing or protecting them from anything which will harm them in their religion and anything which will harm them in their dunya, in their worldly life. This is ihsan. This is ihsan to the creation. فَيَدْخُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ أَمْرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِيهِمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتَعْلِيمِ جَاهِلِهِمْ وَوَعْظِ غَافِلِهِمْ وَالنَّصِيحَةِ لِعَامَّتِهِمْ وَخَاصَّتِهِمْ. Included in that is enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, teaching the ignorant, and admonishing the heedless, the admonishing the heedless, and advising general masses of the Muslims and those specific ones, the people in particular, the people of knowledge, the leaders, those in charge, the hukam, the government, and so on and so forth. وَالسَّعِي فِي جَمْعِ كَلِمَتِهِمْ وَإِصَالِ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالنَّفَقَاتِ الْوَاجِبَ وَالْمُسْتَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ أَحْوَالِهِمْ وَتَبَايُنْ أَوْصَافِهِمْ. And to strive in bringing together their affairs, in uniting their affairs, and delivering sadaqat, charity, and the obligatory spendings, and that which is simply recommended, depending on their various conditions and their various descriptions. فَأَدْخُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ بَذْلُ النَّدَى وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى وَاحْتِمَالِ الْأَذَى. This is how the scholars named it. That included in that is spending, you know, even a smile on your brother's face, كَفُّ الْأَذَى, avoiding harming them, and احْتِمَالُ الْأَذَى, and also bearing with patience harm that you may get in the course of da'wah. كما وصف الله به المتقين في هذه الآيات فمن قام بهذه الأمور فقد قام بحق الله وحق عبيده. So then, as Allah described the muttaqin in these ayat, whosoever then does these things, he does these things, has fulfilled Allah's rights and the rights of his slaves. By doing what? Spending at the time of adversity and prosperity, by repressing anger, pardoning the people, being in a state of ihsan. Then we will see things now that are pertaining to them. ثم ذكر اعتذارهم لربهم من جناياتهم وذنوبهم. Then Allah mentioned their seeking the pardoning and the forgiveness of their Lord because of their own sins and shortcomings. فقال, and he said, and those who if they commit a fahisha, which we said any abhorrent major sin, and usually it's referring to illegal zina, it's referring to illegal sexual intercourse, or they wrong themselves. أَيْصَدْرَ مِنْهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ سَيِّئَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. So whether they do major sins, a lot, or even lesser than that. بَادَرُوا إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. They hasten to repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness. They hasten to repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness. وَذَكَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ بِمَا تَوَعَدَ بِهِ الْعَاصِينَ. And then they remembered what Allah has threatened the disobedience with. They remember the punishment of Allah for those who disobey. وَوَعَدَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ فَسَأَلُوهُ الْمَغْفِرَ لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And they also remembered what Allah promised to those who are taqwa. So then they automatically sought forgiveness for their sins. وَالسَّتْرُ لِعُيُوبِهِمْ. That Allah conceals their faults. مَعْ إِقْلَاعِهِمْ عَنْهَا وَنَدَمِهِمْ عَلَيْهَا. Along with avoiding it strictly and feeling remorseful and regretful. You can't be doing it still while you say that you're doing istighfar. You must leave it alone, you must feel guilty. If there's no guilt, it's no tawbah. If you don't leave it alone, it's no tawbah. If you don't seek forgiveness, it's no tawbah. If it's not for the sake of Allah, it's no tawbah. We have six conditions, we've mentioned it many times before. فَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. That's what Allah says, they do not insist on doing the sins whilst they know. They do not insist on doing the sins while they know. Meaning part of the tawbah is that once they know this is wrong, then they just leave it alone. We ask Allah to make us among those who do so. أُولَٰئِكَ those الْمَوْصُفُونَ بِتِلْكَ الصِّفَةِ. Those who are described with these qualities that are aforementioned, جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Their reward will be forgiveness from their Lord. تَزِيلُ عَنْهُمْ كُلَّ مَحْذُورٍ. It will remove away from them everything that they were afraid and worried about. وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. And it will give them, their reward will be gardens under which rivers flow. فِيهَا مِنَ النَّعِيمِ الْمُقِيمِ وَالْبَهْجَةِ وَالسُّرُورِ وَالْبَهَاءِ وَالْخَيْرِ وَالسُّرُورِ وَالْقُصُورِ وَالْمَنَازِلِ الْأَنِيقَةِ. In this Jannah, there's delight, permanent delight, contentment, happiness, joy, good, entertainment, castles, adorned homes, al-aliyat that are high, wal-ashar al-muthmira and fruitful trees, al-bahiyya wal-anhar al-jariyat and rivers which are flowing, tilka fi tilka al-masakin al-tayyibat, and these beautiful and lovely abodes of residence, khalidina fiha, abiding therein eternally, la yahuluna anha wa la yabghuna biha badalan. They will not seek anything besides it. They will not want a replacement. And that which they are having of entertainment shall never change and come to an end. It will be eternal bliss, eternal pleasure in Jannah. This is what Allah has promised those who even may fall into these abhorrent sins that we mentioned earlier, on the condition that they return to Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah for Allah's mercy. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ And what excellent is the reward of those who do good. عَمِلُوا لِلَّهِ قَلِيلًا فَأُجِرُوا كَثِيرًا They did some small deeds for Allah, they were given huge reward. فَعِنْدَ الصَّبَاحِ يُحْمَدُ الْقَوْمُ السُّرَى وَعِنْدَ الْجَزَاءِ يَجِدُ الْعَامِلُ أَجْرَهُ كَامِلًا مُوَفَّرًا So in the morning, those who strove will find the reward, and at the end of your contract, this is when you will get your full salary. The point being is, that why does it say you do small deeds and Allah will give you a lot of rewards? Because can you really afford Jannah with some 5 daily prayers that we do? Half of them our minds are traveling and wandering in the streets. And the Siyam, which included a lot of, you know, backbiting and, you know, sleeping half of the day. Our deeds, can they allow you to purchase Jannah? If you were to apply this in the dunya, if depending on how good you do, you will get a property. If one of us buys a villa, wallah, that's a big deal. And when you buy a villa, how much maintenance do you need? How much work? Even though you own it, the problems don't end. The problems don't end. After some time, it will probably have to be, you know, demolished and reconstructed, because it cannot take it anymore. You need to, you know, there are cracks that come up in the walls. Maintenance, electric bills, water bills. The actual, even if you own something in the dunya, you don't have that peace of mind. In the ultimate, you're better than someone renting, but you're still not there. Now Jannah, you don't have to worry about anything. And you don't have a villa. You go, you're talking about, your property will be like, you know, the distance of 100 years. You're walking in your own property. You got women that you don't find in magazines, that don't come on TV, something totally different. You know, your wife, if she was good in this dunya, she'd be with you over there as well, and she would not be as annoying as today. Alhamdulillah. Everything is just lovely, and it doesn't end. No one will come and say one day, okay guys, you've had fun, yalla, see you later. Jannah's closing down. Nope. Jannah is forever, and then it gets better and better and better. This is for what? For some salawat, and some siyam, and some zakah, and leaving alone some things that Allah made haram. Right? And if you fell into haram, repenting to Allah. And Allah made the path of Jannah easy and available. Human beings still complain. Why this and why that? Allah made it easy. We just have to make the effort and strive. Now the Shaykh said, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَاتُ الْكَرِيمَاتُ مِنْ أَدِلَّةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ على أن الأعمال تدخل في الإيمان خلافا للمرجئة. Now in these ayat there's an evidence, there's a proof for أهل السنة والجماعة. Us, alhamdulillah, the Muslims who follow the middle path of Islam, and we believe in what Allah and His Messenger said. And Aqidah classes are a whole other discussion. That iman includes your deeds, unlike the murji'a. The murji'a is a group denomination in Islam who say your iman and your deeds have nothing to do with each other. Meaning, you could be a fornicator, an alcoholic, a thief, and your iman is equal to that of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman, Ali, everyone else. You have iman like they have iman, even though they were what they were, and you are what you are today. So they say, your deeds have nothing to do with your iman. This makes it like who? Like shaitan. Because if you use this ideology, then shaitan is an ultimate believer. Did he not believe in Allah? The last day? The angels? Yes. But did that make him submit to Allah? No. So then he doesn't have iman in this sense. So deeds are part of iman. You cannot separate them. If you don't pray, you don't have iman. Even if you claim otherwise. Even if you say, I believe in Allah, there's only one God. Say, where's your salah? Where's your salah? If you believe in Allah, and you know Allah said in the Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ And there are many ayat. How do you say you believe in Allah, and you don't pray, while you know that Allah will threaten you with Jahannam? If you really believe, you won't do it. If I told you right now, look man, if you open this door, there's water flood outside. If you open this door, all of us will drown. If you believe me, you will not open the door. If you say, I believe you, I don't believe you, bro. And then we all drown. What do you say? Do you believe me? Are you lying? If you believe me, why did you not listen to me? Where's the action? So you can say you believe me if you don't act you don't believe. You're just like shaitan. So yeah, it's a form of hypocrisy. Barakallahu fiik. So this is our evidence. ووجه الدلالة أن إنما يتم بذكر الآية التي في سورة الحديد إنما يتم بذكر الآية التي في سورة الحديد نظير هذه الآيات في قوله هي قوله سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله. This understanding can only be complete when we look at the ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, the iron, where Allah says, and hasten and race towards the forgiveness of you, Lord, and a garden which is as wide as the heaven and the earth, prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. So in that ayah, Allah says that Jannah is for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. This one, Allah said, Jannah is for those who repress anger, spend. So then Allah is basically saying, with the combination of the ayat, that for you to get those, you need to have iman and righteous deeds. They go hand in hand. وهنا قالوا عدة للمتقين فلم يذكر فيها إلا لفظ الإيمان به وبرسله. In the Surah Al-Hadid, in Ayat Al-Hadid, Allah did not mention except believing in Allah and His Messenger. And here He says, عدة للمتقين, it was prepared for the God conscious. ثم وصف المتقين بهذه الأعمال المالية والبدنية. Then he described المتقين with these actions of financial and physical. فدل على أن هؤلاء المتقين هم الموصوفين بهذه الصفات أو هم الموصوفون بهذه الصفات هم أولئك المؤمنون. So this indicates that those who are described in these ayat are the actual believers. They are the actual believers. Then the next ayah, inshallah, we will postpone the discussion on till next week, بإذن الله عز وجل. We have stopped at ayah 136. We did not begin ayah 137. Next week we'll do ayah 137, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.